We're going to be joined by our friends at the Berkshire Edge, Marcy and David. We cover on a Wednesday morning and also on the weekends just some of the stories you'll find at theberkshireedge.com, and we say good morning to them right now. Good morning, guys.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Are you enjoying the less humidity that we have in the air already?
Well, yes. I mean, it's been brutal the last few days.
Yeah.
Well, the reports...
We don't have much air conditioning in our old house, so...
Well, unfortunately, in your old house, like most old houses, the air conditioning's in the wintertime when you don't need it.
That's right.
Or yes, the air conditioning is open windows.
That's right.
Well,
and the fan. The ceiling fan. Right.
All right. Well, the Hudson Valley has reported for the month of August to yesterday, the hottest period ever on record in the Hudson Valley.
Really?
Yeah, temperatures averaged right around 90 degrees for the whole period. That's astounding.
Wow. Well, I'm sure that's true here too. We do have a local resident named Nick Diller who tracks the weather for us, and he just sent us his July report. But presumably we'll have August. You know, at the end of August. So.
Yeah, no. Nick used to be the morning voice at WSBS.
That's right. Right. That's right.
He was there.
Anyway.
I got my first job there at WSBS.
So. Really?
Yeah.
First job ever?
First radio job ever back in 1969.
Oh,
I worked. I worked weekends at WSBS.
Wow.
All right. Well, anyways, let's forget about how old I am and go on to the stories. The village of Housatonic.
Age is only a number, and ours are unlisted.
Yes, right. Well, once again, let's go to the area called Housatonic and. The Housatonic Water Company.
Right.
Housatonic is a state of mind, you know,
right.
Might say.
More than people would want to think. So, once again,
yeah.
there's more boiling up. Let's talk about what's boiling up with the Housatonic Water Company.
Well, it's a little private water company. It's a throwback, you know, the Housatonic Water Company. It's Waterworks. It's a throwback to the days when, you know, there was no public water system. It was privately owned. And the little village of Housatonic, which is part of the town of Great Barrington, still has that. The little village water system is privately owned, and it has had a lot of trouble keeping up with repairs to the system. And now people are getting very, very upset.
Well, it's disgusting. Their water is disgusting. It comes out brown. The water company insists that it's safe to drink, but, you know, it's so distasteful that nobody wants to drink it, and they don't want to bathe their babies in it. It stains their clothing, you know, in the washing machine. So it's a terrible problem. And now protests are developing. I mean, people have been just complaining, but now there's actually a group. They've petitioned the state to audit the finances.
Well, on top of all that, they're going to double the rates.
Well, they're going to double the rates now to clean it up. They're only about, what, how many, David? About 600 customers?
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's
So, you know, and they say that the repairs that are required cost $4 million. So, you know, divide that among 600 people. It's a lot of money per customer.
Yep.
So it's a quandary. I mean, there have been discussions that the Great... And Housatonic is part of the town of Great Barrington.
Yeah, we should say that Housatonic is a little... what's called a village within the town of Great Barrington, and this private water company is a throwback to days of yore when water companies, as well as like and roads, were privately owned rather than a public utility. And the problem is that the public utility, this water company, just really can't charge the rates necessary to maintain its system. So it's a quandary for the town and for the owner of the, Jim Mercer, the owner of the water system. So.
Right.
And it's a problem that just never seems to have an answer. That's the whole thing, really.
Right.
And
no one can afford the solution. That's the problem. Housatonic Water Works, and as the people who are protesting, it's being led by a woman named Denise Forbes, who lives in Housatonic. Denise and her husband were also extremely active a year or two ago when there was a proposal to put a marijuana processing plant in the village, in Housatonic, in a residential area. And Denise and her husband Trevor Forbes fought against that, and successfully so far, because the company did withdraw, although it withdrew, I think, without prejudice or whatever the term is, so that it could reverse its withdrawal at any time. It didn't really withdraw its proposal. It just
But in the meantime,
right.
The water system is in trouble.
Well, it's one of those problems that doesn't seem to have an answer, but there is an answer, of course. And, unfortunately, the state and town is going to have to step in.
That's right. It's going to have to become part of the greater, Great Barrington Water system.
It's going to cost
works fine, by the way,
right.
In the outside of the village of Housatonic.
Right. Yeah, but it's going to cost a fortune, the Housatonic Water Works has apparently been making money all these years, but not reinvesting in its system. So now somebody else is going to have to come and bail it out at great expense.
Yeah.
And we're not going to leave Housatonic just yet, because there's one more story. We already talked a little bit about this last week. But that's the Great Barrington Select Board is now taking a look at proposals to redevelop the Housatonic Elementary School.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That poor old school that oversees the center of the village. Yeah. But they're going to have to... The elementary school, there used to be a series of little elementary schools in various neighborhoods in Great Barrington. But years ago they consolidated the school system, and so there's one larger elementary school for all of the for the whole town, and the little neighborhood elementary schools have been turned into other things, and the question is what to do with this large imposing building. Right in the center, and oversees the overlooks the center of Housatonic.
It's a very prominent location,
right?
There have been a number of people who have tried, made proposals over the last few years about things to do with the building, which then they never, they either didn't get approval or they couldn't get financing. But and now they had four bids, and two of them, I guess, have been thrown out. There was one very interesting bid by a woman named Linda Mason, proposed turning the building into the Mason Museum of Body Arts, which. Would have been an international sort of makeup center. For some reason, and I don't know why, but the town has thrown out that proposal. And the other proposal, which I thought was kind of interesting, was from the Berkshire Innovation Center, which has opened in the last couple of years in Pittsfield, and they wanted to have an extension in Housatonic. I'm not sure why that was, but there are two viable proposals. One is to turn the building into 10 two-bedroom market rate units, and another one to turn the property into a mixed-use building with 14 residential apartments and a retail space, a flex, a community flex space where there's one retail space and various room for community groups and not for profits. So, and also this latter project would have a rain garden and a gold standard clean water filtration center. I'm sorry, filtration system, a gold standard clean water filtration system. So I guess it would opt out of Housatonic. It would also have a tent or a gazebo pop-up for year-round community events. So these are interesting, and if they are possible, it would be wonderful to bring new housing and also community center into downtown Houston.
And at the same time, retain that historic building.
Right.
It's an amazing story. We'll see how it goes.
It's been going on endlessly. I mean, and I don't know why people are now able to turn it into housing. There have been several proposals over the last few years to do the same thing, but no one has succeeded. We'll see.
Well, this time might be the charm.
It might.
But then again, it might not. But anyway.
Right.
go on. Let's get out of there. Let's get out of Housatonic.
Okay, we'll go to Lenox.
Let's go to the review on Hello Bookstore.
Yes, right.
Well, this is our pal Matt Tannenbaum, who has a wonderful bookstore, and he's had this bookstore for ages in Lenox.
I think it's more than 50 years.
Right? Yeah,
he had his 50th anniversary.
And it's just a wonderful location, right down in the center of Lenox, and he's just been a fixture there for many
50 years.
Years. It's hard to believe because I've known Matt, and his bookstore is just a delight.
And during the pandemic, he operates on very thin margins and barely makes a living. And during the pandemic, he was threatening to have to shut down, and he ran a GoFundMe campaign, and he raised $60,000 in 24 hours.
Right.
23 hours. He raised over $100,000, but it was phenomenal. And a filmmaker has made a film about him called Hello Bookstore.
Yep.
And we've seen this film. It's really charming. So we have an article by one of our film reviewers, Leonard Quart, about the film.
Right.
And about how this bookseller has created a magical place by loving books that clearly reflect the community values.
Right.
It's a charming film. It's a lovely story.
One of the good things about the internet is GoFundMe. When we lost our AM transmitter about 4 years ago, the cost of a new one was $35,000. FM transmitters you can buy for $5,000 and $6,000. We didn't have $35,000, so we put out a GoFundMe campaign, and in 4 days raised $35,000.
Wow!
Which blew us away with the community. So it's nice to hear that about a bookstore like this. That's such a part of the community that the community gets behind it and supports.
Well,
we
are lucky to have, several terrific bookstores in Great Barrington. I mean, Matt in Lenox is getting a lot of attention because of this film, but actually, we also have a terrific bookstore in Great Barrington called the Book Loft. And there's also a terrific bookstore in West Stockbridge called Shaker Mill Books. And they have, for book lovers, they have a huge barn that's open during the summer months. It's just filled with books. We used it as we took a picture of it for the cover of our magazine a couple of years ago. He's got a big checkout table that's built on top of a column of books. It's quite phenomenal. So we have these three, you know, in the Book Loft in Great Barrington, Matt's Bookstore in Lenox, and the Shaker Mill Books in West Stockbridge. I mean, we are really lucky, and these are actually the Book Loft in Great Barrington was started by the same man who owns the West Stockbridge Bookstore. So we are very lucky to have three, you know, locally owned, owned by people who love books, very community responsive bookstores.
Right.
It's unusual.
All right, let's move on here now. Riverfest, right. Riverfest this Sunday.
Yes.
Go ahead, Marcy.
Oh, okay. Well, we we are also lucky that, you know, the Housatonic River has been a subject, and David has been pursuing this subject for 30 years now in the Berkshires, because, you know, GE polluted the Housatonic River by dumping PCBs into it for years. And there is an organization called the Housatonic River Institute, which has been... which has been working to clean up the river, and now they are focused on the latest solution. Apparently, the EPA and GE have settled on a solution which will bring PCBs out of the river and put them in a dump in the town of Lee, Massachusetts. And this is an ongoing saga because the people in Lee are very worried that this is going to leach out into their water system in very short order. They obviously don't want that. So the Housatonic River Initiative is, holding its annual celebration with community activities and music and food, and it will take place in Lee in a church park in Lee this Sunday from noon to 6. It's admission is free. There are all kinds of things to do. So, you know, we highly recommend people not just going, but supporting this river initiative.
Yes, this has been a campaign for many, many years on the part of the Housatonic River Initiative and others, and actually brought GE to the table against kicking and screaming, I might add. But they have managed to at least do as much of a cleanup as the EPA could force them to do.
And this guy, Tim Gray, I mean, he's an old friend of David's also, who runs it. He is really dedicated to...
He's relentless.
Yes, he is relentless. I mean, he's dedicated his life to this. It's remarkable. I mean, really, a wonderful example of what somebody can do if they put their mind to it.
All right, the last 3 minutes we have, we're going to come down here to Connecticut. I just interviewed a person. I just interviewed a person whose group is going to be at Music Mountain. It's a special weekend this weekend. Let's talk about the story that you've got.
Well, go ahead, Marcy.
A preview of our music writer David Noel Edwards has been very busy this summer. I mean, we've had enormous coverage of local music activities, and so he's got a preview of the Kramer Quartet coming to Music Mountain on August 14th. And of course, Music Mountain is a very special place. I mean, for those, I'm sure. You've been there, Marshall, and I'm sure many of your listeners are regulars there. But it really is charming, and they have wonderful music there. And so we have a preview of the Kramer Quartet, which is going to be at Gordon Hall at Music Mountain on Sunday. And we have a link in our article to where you can buy tickets. It's on our.
Well, what's interesting about this as a violin player myself, what's interesting about this is that they play on historic instruments, and that means that the strings are gut strings rather than metal wound, and they have a certain kind of sound that is an ancient sound. So it's going to be a very interesting music will sound as it was actually written to sound. So it'll be a very interesting experience for people to hear how the music actually sounded when it was written many years,
right,
centuries
right.
ago.
Right, that is interesting.
Yeah.
And they're also, they are persons of color, women, non-binary, and LGBTQ. So their mission is also about advancing cultural equity in classical music, while at the same time they are championing historically informed performance practices.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting group.
It is. I've heard these instruments, these historic instruments played, and it's quite a different sound. It's really interesting. It's how music, how the composers who wrote this music actually heard it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what's interesting. This is how the music actually sounded when these composers wrote the music.
All right. And like I said, I just interviewed Jessica Park, who is a part of that weekend. They're even going to have on Sunday a question and answer period that people can ask questions and get answers about the instruments and things.
So, oh, really? Yeah. Oh, how interesting. Well, that should be very interesting.
Well,
another interesting week in South County.
It is.
That's what
yes. Yes, it is. It's our area, Marshall. I mean, yours and ours.
All right, we'll speak to you guys next week.
Okay.
Take
Bye.
Care.
Have a good
Bye-bye.
Week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That is, of course, the Berkshire Edge on air here on Robinhood Radio. You can find them at theberkshireedge.com, and you can find this podcast at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on this week, the Berkshire Edge on air.